So we've mentioned the four candles, yeah. And we're looking, for those of you who weren't here last week, we're looking at some of the enthronement titles of Jesus contained within the prophecy of Isaiah. And I mentioned to you last Sunday morning that Isaiah, being one of the four major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, they're the major prophets, and then you've got a collection of minor prophets. Doesn't mean to say the major were better. They just spanned a greater period of time, and their prophecies were far greater. Isaiah's ministry stretched for 39 years. And I said to you last Sunday, I was at Ruislip as senior minister for 39 years. I can tell you it's a long time. 39 years is a long time. And Isaiah prophesied for 39 years. And he says a lot about Jesus in those early chapters, 7, 9, 11. Some of those lovely Christmas readings that we have about the incarnation, the coming of Jesus, they're taken from 7, 9, 11. And then later, at the back end of this enormous prophecy, we have those four servant songs that tell us about the mission and ministry of Jesus. And if you want a different angle on Christmas in this Advent season, why don't you read those chapters, 7, 9, 11, Google the servant songs in Isaiah, and all the chapters will come up. I think the first one's in chapter 42, and the final one begins at the end of 52, and there are two others somewhere in the middle, but off the top of my head, I can't tell you what the chapter references are. And I intentionally last Sunday ended our service with Graham Kendrick's lovely song, The Servant King, because the servant songs in Isaiah speak to us, particularly the final song. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to give our lives. And in 9:6 we have these lovely titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But they're more than grand titles. They are attributes of Christ, and they express something of his character and something of his conduct. Now, you don't need to tell me, but I'm just asking a question. Did you ever, or perhaps you do presently, have a nickname? Do you remember nicknames? You know, when we were at school, we tended to give each other nicknames. When I was in my teens, my nickname was Deck the Gleck. Exactly. Deck the Gleck. Now, it was in the Northeast. We're fairly simple folks up there, you know. And I've tried to find out if there is such a word as Gleck. And there isn't. Which probably, you know, sums up me, really. Deck the Gleck, the person who isn't. Well, these enthronement titles are purposeful and meaningful and helpful to us as we reflect on them. They're pertinent and relevant. And last week we looked at the Prince of Peace, and this morning as we prepare for communion, we're going to look at the title Mighty God. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly know about me. I want a Jesus who is a mighty, all-powerful, omnipotent God. Is that your Jesus? When Isaiah speaks of this child, this king, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. I want a mighty God who is able to save and able to keep. And Jude says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. You see, there are a lot of folks out there make big promises and they can't keep them. And you know that because we've all been let down by promises that weren't kept. And some were deliberately broken. And some were broken because of the difficulties of life circumstance. But Jesus, mighty to save. Mighty God. And those lovely Christological passages that we read, you know, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That's pretty mighty, isn't it? When you look at the sea on your way home, or you see the leaves falling from the trees and the lovely autumn stroke winter colours, through him all things were made. Or that passage in Philippians chapter 1, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't think equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Or Colossians chapter 1, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Mighty, big, impressive. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And listen to this, and through whom he made the universe. Mighty. You know, we watch blokes on the telly with an S on their chest. This is mighty. No kryptonite here. And no wonder they sing in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and honor. Jesus, the mighty God. And it's this all-powerful Christ that we celebrate together at Christmas. But what is fascinating, and sadly so, is that the Christ of Christmas is not viewed by most people as mighty, but as a vulnerable bundle of newly birthed life. So he is. He's pink. And he's pretty, and he's fragile, and he's dependent. And because of that, he's manageable. You can manage a pink bundle. And most people can tolerate babies for a while. But not many can accommodate the demands of deity. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? The demands of deity. So if he's pink and fragile and in a little crib, we're by and large comfortable with that. But when he's mighty and powerful, he's able to help us, but he equally seeks our allegiance to him. And that's the payoff. He's able to save and to forgive and offer hope, but we're called to follow. Mighty God, the word translated better, and I am going to finish in 5 minutes. Please help me to finish in 5 minutes. Because we've got communion, I know. The word mighty God better in the Hebrew is warrior God rather than mighty. Warrior, not a worrier, not somebody who worries, but a warrior God. I'm a warrior. The older I get, the more I worry. It's absolutely true. Jesus isn't a warrior, he's a warrior who comes to break the power of sin, who comes to invade and overturn the kingdom of darkness, to establish an eternal kingdom here on earth and in heaven. You know, this isn't fanciful oratory, it is a factual overview of what the Word of God teaches. I mentioned earlier that Carrie was helping at a children's after-school group at Ashley Baptist Church about a week ago. That's where we worship. And she had to do a craft with these children. So she did one of these, an activity sheet, a countdown to Christmas. And it was 24 pictures that represented the Christmas story, and they had to colour them in, and then they took them home and they ticked them off each day. And she looked at the 24 pictures, and there was one picture in particular that just didn't make sense. And she said to them, "Now there's something here on this sheet I've just noticed that's not really in the Christmas story. Can anyone see it?" And they all looked and nobody could see it. And so she said, "Well, it's the bunny rabbit." And this little girl looked at her and said, "Why? The shepherds had a bunny rabbit." Carrie said, no. "The shepherds looked after the sheep. Yes, they had sheep, but they also had a bunny rabbit." Carrie said, "Well, yeah, if that's the way it is. You know, there's so much about the Christmas story that is fanciful and add-on and lost. It's not the Christmas story anymore, it's the winter festival. Let's own it again, folks. My last sermon at Riceland Baptist Church. It's time to shine. It's time for us as Christians to stand up, to speak out, and to stick up for what we believe in. That's why you send Christmas Christmas cards." And Jesus breaks in. The New Testament gives us examples of this warrior, mighty God confronting the demonic forces of evil, the imperial power of Rome, the religious antagonism of Judaism, and the spiritual wickedness of sin and death. And had we time, we could visit parts of the gospel where we see this warrior king standing up and speaking out. And you know, the best is yet to come. In this Advent season, we're preparing to celebrate the first coming in the knowledge that the Bible says he's coming again. He's coming again.